And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a very rainy Monday, September the 26th, 2016. 12:14 p.m. coming up on 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Scott Spears along with you for the next 2 hours. Stay tuned next hour because we're going to be joined by Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. And as you all know, Bob Casey is the head of a very important state in this presidential election. And speaking of presidential elections, today is the day of the presidential debate that possibly could be watched by more people than any other presidential debate in the history of the United States. A low-end audience of 80 million people, a high-end of possibly 120 million people. It is going to be something. And joining us today to give us a little thought on what could happen tonight is one of my favorite people. She's a former panelist on the great long-running series, The McLaughlin Group, and she currently writes for The Daily Beast. She is Eleanor Clift. Eleanor, how are you?
I'm good. Glad to be with you. I'm sitting in a chair about a block from the White House where there's lots of construction going on as the city of Washington continues to grow and expand. And I'm fascinated to hear the numbers that are expected to watch tonight's debate. Apparently the most watched debate was 1980, Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, and the population was much smaller then, so I'm sure tonight will exceed that.
That being said, Eleanor, why, in your opinion, has a debate not been watched by that many people since 1980?
Well, I still think the debates command large audiences, but I think tonight in particular you have a voting population that is saturated, I think, with commentary and ads and insults back and forth. And I think people really want the opportunity to get a more or less unfiltered 90 minutes watching these two people without commercial breaks, without an audience reacting, two-minute time responses. So I think it is a unique moment in a campaign that's gone on for, what, a year and a half. And early voting has already begun, and they're expecting something like 40% of the voting population to vote before Election Day, which to me indicates, A, high degree of partisanship, people have made up their minds, and B, an eagerness to get this over with, because it's been so dominant in the airwaves, and yet I think a lot of people have come away feeling that they don't know very much about these two people and their positions, despite all the coverage.
What do they have to do tonight? Let's start on one side. What does Hillary Clinton have to do?
I'm hearing you actually very faintly. I think you asked me what do each of them have to do?
Yes.
I begin with Donald Trump. I think he needs to indicate that he has the presidential temperament, that he's not somebody who's just going to be bullying his opponent and calling names and that sort of thing. He has to show more of a presidential demeanor, and he has to show, you know, some command, not of every minutia, but some command of the overall issues that confront a president. And Hillary Clinton, conversely, I think we all believe that she has the intellect and the command of issues, and she's got to relate more to voters who kind of regard her as part of the government for the last 20 years, and they don't really relate to her as a human being. So she has to convey more sort of passion and emotion and character, I think, is her challenge. And I think she looks presidential, but she has to pick her battles against Donald Trump. She can't let him get away with just remaking himself in one night. So she has to remind the audience about a lot of what he has said and done over the last 18 months.
If he shows up and he is typical Donald Trump, name-calling, doing what he does, is that good for him, bad for him, good for her, bad for her?
It's going to be a 90-minute debate divided into six 15-minute segments. So I would think in one of those segments, we will probably, at least one, we will see the Donald Trump that we recognize in the campaign trail, because he can't leave that behind entirely. It's what got him there. It's what his base loves about him. But I think he is aware that this is not about rallying his base. They're already pretty convinced, and they're enthusiastic. This is about bringing over people who are reluctant Republicans to kind of bring them home and perhaps win over independents. So I think he's got to still be the performer that he is, and I doubt that he could let 90 minutes go by with just dry debate on issues, and I don't know that he really has the command of knowledge to do that. So I think, yeah, the showman will still be on the stage, because so much of our politics has really devolved into showmanship. He wouldn't be the Republican nominee if that weren't the case. So I think we'll see. We should see enough of the old Donald Trump, but I think he's going to be cognizant of the fact that there is a line he doesn't want to go over tonight, if he wants to be seen as what we normally think of as presidential.
What can't he do? Can he call her a liar about the emails? Can he call her Crooked Hillary up there? Can he go after her husband? Or is that something he can't do?
I think he can challenge her on those issues. And there will, at least one or two of those segments will be, tonight will be about character, and I think he will challenge her character. And whether he will do it in as blunt a terms as you just said, I'm not sure about that, whether he will be somewhat restrained. But if he doesn't bring that up, maybe she will. So you've called me, you know, Crooked Hillary, you know, what... You know, challenge him. What do you base that on? And so I think they each have a job to do tonight to really go after the other's vulnerabilities, and to also reach out to a segment of America that perhaps hasn't fully made up their mind. And Hillary Clinton's challenge, of course, is to get people excited about her. And if they're not excited about her, get them excited about defeating Donald Trump. There's nothing wrong with casting a vote that is essentially against the other candidate. And I think she's really got to appeal to the segment of America who does think that Donald Trump is an unacceptable leader. He's from his authoritarian views to some of the things he's said about foreign leaders. And there's lots of territory to cover. And I hope they go beyond the sound bites that we're all too familiar with.
That being said, Eleanor, I saw the polls this morning. It's almost a dead heat in the popular vote, and Pennsylvania is getting closer and closer. We'll ask Bob Casey about that later on. Wisconsin looks like it's back in play. Ohio is leaning toward Trump, and Florida is pretty close. What is going on with just a little over 40 days to go?
Well, I think it is a kind of a coming together of the two partisan Americas, and Trump is bringing home a lot of Republicans who really couldn't imagine they'd be with him. I mean, Ted Cruz came out for him because the polls show the race is tightening, and they imagine that perhaps he actually could win, and each side likes nothing better than winning. So I think that's happening, and the country is divided. We've been a 50-50 America pretty much until since 2000. But this morning on MSNBC, David Plouffe, who ran the Obama campaign in 08, and had a hand in the 12 election as well. He said he's 100% certain that Hillary Clinton's going to win, and he's looking at the electoral map. And while those national polls have tightened, I think it bears remembering that Barack Obama never led Mitt Romney by more than 3 points in those national polls, and that for a time that lead went back and forth nationally. Romney led, and on election night, Romney thought that he actually would win. Instead, in 2012, that was a, 330 electoral vote landslide for Obama. So you got to look at the battleground state, and Hillary Clinton still reaches the 270 electoral votes if she loses Ohio and Florida. Trump really has to run the table of these other states, and most importantly, as you point out, he's got to win Pennsylvania. And so far, while Hillary Clinton is not as far ahead in Pennsylvania as she has been at various points, she's still in a pretty strong position in Pennsylvania. And Pluff made the comment that so far, despite the nervousness among Democrats and despite Trump doing better, Hillary Clinton is still ahead. And the burden is on Trump to change the trajectory of the race tonight if he wants to, alter the race going forward. It's still Hillary Clinton to lose, although, she could. But I think the odds still favor her candidacy.
Well, that being said, Eleanor, I watched that program on MSNBC this morning, too, and they also had on Professor Alan Lichtman, who has predicted every presidential race correctly since 1984, and he says landslide for Donald Trump.
He has the various keys, we'll see. I mean, I'm going to put my money on on David Pluff, maybe because that's what my inclination is. And I'm sure you can look at the numbers and the trends and you can come up with another outcome. The New York Times asked, I think, 6 different pollsters to look at the numbers, and their story was printed late last week, and I think 5 of the 6 predicted a Clinton outcome, and there was 1 Trump outcome. And so, if Trump will win, we'll hold up these as the seers. But I still think the weight of data is still on the Clinton side.
Eleanor, with just 3 minutes left here, what I don't understand is the way the electoral map is set up, as I see it. As you're exactly correct, Hillary could lose Ohio, she could lose Florida, and still win the election if she wins Pennsylvania. Why doesn't she just put every bit of money she has from here until Election Day into Pennsylvania?
I think she's putting a lot into Pennsylvania, but I think if we read later this week that Clinton campaign is pulling out of Ohio and pulling out of Florida, that would be such a sort of like waving the white flag. It would not be seen as a wise move. And a lot of this is about psychology. And the Trump campaign going into this debate is basically saying, oh, he didn't do any preparation. He's very confident. He's not nervous about anything. He's going to win. And that attitude is kind of the core of his campaign. And so I think Clinton is fighting that as well. If she were to retreat from all these other states and assume they were won, big mistake that would be, and to go solely into Pennsylvania, that would be seen as a move of desperation that the Trump campaign would fall out immediately. And I don't think that would bode well for Clinton.
Before we let you go, Eleanor, what is something, as this campaign gets nearer and nearer, that we don't know that could change or alter this race? What is something that is not out there in the mainstream media yet?
I wish I knew the answer to that. I mean, I think one thing that floats around a lot is this so-called hidden Trump vote. you know, how much of the population fits under the heading of blue-collar, white voters left behind? Are they 25% of the population, 35%? How many of them have been so disgruntled they have never voted before, and out and Trump is going to draw them to the polls? Now, I remember in 2004, the Bush campaign then kept talking about 4 million evangelical voters that they were pulling to the polls, and everybody kind of rolled their eyes. Well, actually, they did pull a lot of evangelical voters to the polls, and Trump is also appealing to evangelical voters to turn out. So I think, you know, that's interesting. And you know, is the electorate not the electorate of the Obama coalition of, you know, young people and minorities and single women? Are we going to see more of an older model of the voting population that Trump is bringing out? And by that, I'm saying, you know, probably older and whiter than we've seen in the last two elections. So it's who comes to the polls really matters a lot.
Eleanor, I know we'll speak tomorrow a little bit for about 10 minutes about the debate tonight. That'll be fun, and I thank you for joining us today, and we'll speak a little bit tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Take care, Eleanor.
Glad to do it. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Eleanor Clift, writer for The Daily Beast, former panelist on the McLaughlin Group for, I believe, 35 years. So that was a lot of fun. If you have any opinions on that, give us a call or the big debate tonight, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think is going to happen tonight? And I'll tell you, the weather changed here just quick enough in Ohio for everybody to be home watching the debate tonight on this very rainy and much chillier day than it has been in a long while. 740-383-9944. What do you think's going to happen tonight? What do you think of these predictions? Brooks saying that it's a 100% slam dunk that Hillary's going to win the election because of the electoral map. And then you have Alan Lichtman, the professor who's predicted every race since 1984, saying it's going to be a landslide for Donald Trump. It is hard to say. That is for certain at the stage we're at right now. 740-383-9944. Sean Kraft is here in studio today. Hopefully he will be back out here in just a second, and we can continue on the conversation about everything going on in the world on this very, very big day. Remember, Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania will be joining us at 1:15. He'll be with us from 1:15 to 1:30 today, and we're going to learn about Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania plays a very important part in this election, because if Donald Trump does not win Pennsylvania, and he wins Ohio and wins Florida, he still cannot win the election. So he's got to win Pennsylvania. He's got to stop her there. But if she wins Pennsylvania, it's going to be very difficult for her to lose the election. So all roads come to Pennsylvania, and we've got Senator Bob Casey, a guy who knows something about Pennsylvania, on next hour, 1:15 to 1:30. Don't miss that. And Eleanor Clift back tomorrow at 12:15 to discuss what happens tonight during the debate. And for anybody who doesn't know, tonight the debate starts at 9 p.m. I believe all the networks are carrying it. I know CNN is for sure. CNN's pregame, I think, starts at 4 p.m. today. But 9 p.m. is when it starts tonight. 90 minutes, no breaks. So if you want to order your pizza or your wings or whatever, you better do it by 7 o'clock, because I have the feeling that a lot of people will be getting ready for that spectacular event that happens at 9 o'clock tonight. And as I say, Eleanor Clift tomorrow at 12:15 and Mary Ellen Withrow at 1:15. So we're going to take a quick break here and come back with much more right after this.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these: the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And we're back here, 35 minutes past the hour on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears, Sean Kraft. What did you think of Eleanor Clift?
Oh, I think she was sort of like it was, and I think this is going to be an interesting debate tonight.
Well, do you think, as she said, like David Brooks said on MSNBC this morning, that Hillary Clinton has this election already wound up before the debates? Because of the electoral map, there's a 100% chance that she's going to win. That's what he said this morning.
Well, you know, it's looking good for her. That's all I can say.
But what needs to happen in this debate tonight? We'll ask you. What needs to happen? Take the call, then we'll come back to you on that question. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's your normal intrusion here.
Our paid caller.
I'm going to take the big risk tonight. My wife wants chili spaghetti.
Ooh. Oh, you.
I'm going to sort of shield my television a little bit, though.
You might have to.
How many people are going to stick with the whole thing? If it turns into yada, 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 okay. We've pretty much heard all the junk they've got to throw at one another. I, myself, don't think I'll watch the whole thing. I think I'm going to find it so dull of, same old, same old, same old.
You know what I think's going to happen? I think because there are no commercial breaks, I think it will get that audience. Because usually when they go to commercial or they do a break, people can get up. Plus, it's only 90 minutes. I think that will help, too. I think this will break 100 million tonight.
Oh, it may, but I'm curious as to what the other two will do.
Depending on tonight, if tonight is exciting, if Trump does his craziness and Hillary fights him on it, they'll watch the second and third ones. If it's not, and it doesn't make much difference in the polls, the second and third one will be watched, but not as big.
Yeah, if all they talk about is the number of new airplanes we need and how we're probably going to have to draft everybody because we're in such desperate trouble, and silliness like that, that's pretty dull stuff.
Well, Eleanor,
people are tuning in for something exciting.
Well, and it's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, when you have Hillary Clinton already giving Mark Cuban a spot in the front row and Donald Trump saying he's inviting Jennifer Flowers, then he's not inviting. We don't know if she's going to be there or not. If she shows up,
Paula Jones, she.
Well, you never know. By that stretch of the imagination alone, just having Mark Cuban, who's a star with Shark Tank, and Donald Trump from The Apprentice, all that, it's going to make it totally different than any other debate that there has ever been.
Mm-hmm. Some of the others had real content to them, though,
What do you?
And again, like I say, this is just digging up old garbage.
What do you think will happen?
It may be better than that. It may turn out to be exciting, and I hope it's not too entertaining, because that would mean that we've, as a country, have sort of disgraced ourselves by having these two people up there.
Well, here's the thing, and people won't like this. I don't think on Hillary Clinton's end it's going to be exciting. I think she's a policy wonk, and that's what she's going to talk about until it gets ugly. But Donald Trump is where you got to worry about the entertainment value.
Yeah, it's going to be premise all over again. Although yeah. I wouldn't know because I never watched that stupid show.
Well, but here's the question. What do you think they have to do tonight? And do you believe, as Eleanor Cliff said, you know, Eleanor writes for the Daily Beast, but she also wrote for Newsweek for years. She's in the know. Do you think that David Brooks, because of the electoral map, no matter what happens in these debates, that Hillary Clinton's got 100%, this is over?
Well, we got two guys who are considered experts, and they totally 100% disagree. So one of them's wrong.
Well, here's the problem. And as I say, Hillary Clinton, her electoral map is much more simple. And I just think it's going to be hard for Donald to win Pennsylvania because, unlike Eleanor said, I don't think she's going to pull out of Florida and Ohio right now. But if she really believes, as we get closer to Election Day, that she can't win those states, I think she's going to dump everything into Pennsylvania. She'll lose Ohio and Florida, but she can afford to do that. And as long as she wins Pennsylvania, done deal.
Yeah, some of the other states are a little bit iffy, too, you know, North Carolina, among others.
But she doesn't have to win North Carolina, either. It's
well,
a weird...
She can't lose them all and still win.
The only one she has to win are Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and hold all the other Democratic states.
And that's the key, holding the other states.
Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, she's quite far ahead. And Trump's not even campaigning in those states.
We might learn that polls aren't really that good. They've been very wrong before. It's hard to say. I think the primary concern is who gets elected with, the Senate races and the representative races.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Because she's going to be in the same bind if the other states basically put Republican.
Well, I'll tell you this.
It's
Trump's going to win.
Another 4 years or maybe even eight of total nothing done.
Well,
and
Trump's,
nothing accomplished.
Trump's going to win Ohio. I just, something about this state's makeup has went very, you know what, I think it's a rebellion against the governor, to be honest with you. I think Trump will win Ohio. I don't think he's going to win Florida. And I think that'll be his Waterloo, to be honest. Because also, if she loses Pennsylvania and wins Florida, it's also game over. It's not so much about what she has to win. It's about what he can't lose.
Yeah.
And he can't lose Florida, and he can't lose Pennsylvania. Now, he could turn Wisconsin and Michigan and lose Pennsylvania, but that's very highly unlikely since he's not campaigning in either one of those states.
Mm-hmm.
So the trouble is...
Do you think it's because he doesn't feel he can possibly win, or he just...
I don't think he...
Or he thinks he can do better.
I think the polls in Wisconsin and Michigan have never showed him winning, and I think he sees the combination is a smaller electoral number. I think if he thinks he can sweep into Pennsylvania, which the left side of Pennsylvania does tend to be Republican, so if he can just spread that through the right side, he can put himself back in play. But again, he's still got to do the trifecta. He's got to do Pennsylvania, he's got to do Ohio, he's got to do Florida, and he's also got to hold Nevada and North Carolina and possibly pick up a small state like New Hampshire. It's very difficult. But what I think's going on here, to be honest with you, when I heard Trump say last week that he did not want the moderator tonight, Lester Holt, fact-checking him, and that he felt Lester Holt was a Democrat, and we all ended up finding out Lester Holt's a registered Republican, that, you know what, I think the media has...
Well, a true Republican wouldn't be kind to Trump.
Well, here's what I believe, but I don't think they'd be kind to Hillary either, so it's a perfect person to do it. But what I think is, I think the media has created Trump, and here's why I say that. What I have learned now, after watching this thing, for now, over a year, is that when Hillary says something, they do question her, or they say she's avoiding them. When Trump says something, even if it's a lie, or he just tells you, I'm not going to tell you, they never press him. They should.
And, oh, they should, absolutely.
And they don't, and I think that's why people think he is the lesser of two evils. I think, in a way, the media wants him in there because he's entertaining.
Well, Saturday Night Live definitely wants him in.
Well, all the comedy shows do.
Oh, heck yes. They got 4 years in the bag there.
Well, it's going to be an interesting night. And like I say, stay tuned. We've got Bob Casey. He'll tell us something about Pennsylvania next hour. And if anything else that we talk about floats your way, give us a call back.
Will do.
Bye-bye. Again, telephone lines are open. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, Sean, the question to you was, what needs to happen tonight in this debate? What does Donald Trump have to do to win? What does Hillary Clinton have to do to win?
Well,
let me get your mic.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Donald Trump, you know, a lot of people say he's going to be himself. Well, you know, I don't think he's, I don't see that anymore. He can't control himself.
But people liked that before.
Yeah, but right now it's been hurting him. So I think he needs to settle down, but I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to take every dig that he can with Hillary tonight. And Hillary, she really don't have to do anything but really show up and say her speech.
Well, Hillary knows the policies, but will she get down in the dirt with him if he starts kicking her?
Oh, I think he will, because I have a feeling, a small feeling he's going to say, can you stand up this long? Or,
but will that hurt her to get down in the dirt?
No, because I think she could punch her way back. She'll probably shoot that, you know, I ain't the one to take money out of my charity to pay bills and stuff like that, you know.
But will he just deny it? Well, and say, I never said that.
Well, he's going to deny it, but his facts is the facts. It's already out there. And he's already paid the fees.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Well, what does Hillary have to do to win?
Basically just, you know, present herself, what her plan is. I think she's pretty well got it in the bucket.
You think?
My belief. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
Now, this is fascinating, folks. As August ended, a new Donald Trump emerged, coached by his new campaign management team. He stayed on message, read from a teleprompter, and focused on policy. It lasted about a month. After he lied on September 16th, and he was not the person responsible for the birtherism campaign to delegitimize Barack Obama, Politico chose to spend a week fact-checking Trump. They fact-checked Hillary Clinton over the same time period. So this is about 2 weeks ago. This is what Politico said. We subjected every statement made by both the Republican and Democratic candidates in speeches, in interviews, and on Twitter to our magazine's rigorous fact-checking process. The conclusion is inescapable. Trump's mishandling of facts and propensity for exaggeration so greatly exceeded Clinton's as to make the comparison almost ludicrous. Though few statements match the audacity of his statement about his role in questioning Obama's citizenship, Trump has built a cottage industry around stretching the truth. According to Politico's five-day analysis, Trump averaged about one falsehood every 3 minutes and 15 seconds over nearly 5 hours of remarks. In raw numbers, that's 87 erroneous statements in 5 days. After a campaign of hundreds of interviews, stadium rallies, and press conferences, it is still difficult to glean a platform from the Republican nominee's powerfully incoherent rhetoric and constantly evolving views. Now, this is interesting. NBC conducted a poll on his policy changes. Since he announced he was running for president back in June 16th, 2015, a little over a year, Sean, do you know how many times he's changed his policies on 20 different issues?
I'd say it's probably in the 50s or 60s.
117.
Wow.
He's changed his policies. This is an NBC poll. 117 distinct policy shifts on 20 major issues since June 16th of 2015, in a little over a year. And in his speeches, a five-hour speech, he lies every 3 minutes and 15 seconds. So in 5 hours, he says 87 things that aren't true.
Okay. I can believe it. Now, what about Hillary? Do they have her poll?
Hillary is about every 18 minutes.
That's not bad.
So she makes about 4 an hour, which means in a 5-hour period, she's got about 20. He's got 87.
Yeah.
And on the policy switching, she hasn't switched at all.
I wonder why they're lying at all. I mean, what's the purpose of lying?
Get those people to vote for you. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, just me again.
Go ahead.
You know, I think that actually helps him among his followers. He's not the status quo. He's not what a normal politician would do. And I don't think they care at all whether he lies or not.
Yeah, but here's what I wonder. Thinking people like you and the other caller who we have who regularly call. We have other callers, as people found out Friday. But the people who call in who have said, here's what I really don't understand as this campaign has evolved. Because I was listening to a repeat this morning where both you and our other caller who calls in a lot both have said in the last month that you're not going to vote. Well, the other one we're not really sure about. We're going to have to hold off on that one. But you had said, of the two, you're okay with Trump. Well, you're safer with Trump because you don't know what he'll be. But as a thinking person who doesn't like Trump, by legitimate news sources, somebody who changes their policies in a year 117 times and lies every 3 minutes and 15 seconds and says 87 lies in 5 hours, how can you feel that this man's all of a sudden going to have a come-to-Jesus moment after the election and that's going to stop?
Oh, I don't expect him to be worth anything in there. But again, I'm one of the untrusters there. I don't trust Hillary anything.
But the facts are the facts. She has, on the policy changes, zero.
So what?
117. Zero to 117.
She hasn't presented a whole lot of her policy other than what she printed. Who reads that?
Well,
I don't.
Well, I think she's presented her policy. She presented her policy. You'll come in a second.
I'm not sure we can afford her policies.
Well, that could be, but at least you know
totally
what,
free.
But at least you know what they are.
The one that gets me is the totally free college.
You know, I don't understand.
That's not practical.
Well, I don't know, because here's what I don't understand. The beef up that Donald Trump wants from the military and the building of this wall would cost more than giving free college.
Oh, yeah.
So why do people?
I can't imagine those actually happening. Again, a lot of it depends on who's going to get elected in the Congress. That's the crux of this, the real stuff.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Sean? You want to say something?
No, I guess, Gail, I was wondering if you say you don't trust Hillary.
No.
And you don't really trust Donald. Why'd you pick Donald over Hillary then? I guess if you don't trust either.
I don't want either one of them.
Oh, you don't? But you're gonna vote for Donald though.
No.
Oh, you're not. Oh, that's
Donald,
no. But more comfortable.
Oh, you're more comfortable where Donald.
If Donald gets in.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So you don't know who you're going to vote for yet either.
I know exactly who I'm going to vote for, and he's neither of the two.
Oh, okay.
So Gary Johnson.
That's the guy.
But he doesn't even know what Aleppo is.
The silliness about
See, to me, that's a waste of time.
In a senior moment there, he didn't recognize the name of the...
But he's not a senior. He's not as old as Trump or Hillary.
See, let me tell
you. You can find senior moments in young people.
Let me tell you guys both. I think it's totally ridiculous that they should not have these third parties, and then you either vote for Hillary or you vote for Donald.
The only way we're ever going to change and get away from the nonsense of the two-party system, which has proven to be not very efficient, is people start voting seriously for people that they feel are going to do the better job.
Well,
to continue with the status quo on that is silly.
Well, don't you think you're wasting your time to go spend your gas money, jump in your car, go to the voting booth, and vote for Johnson when you know he's not going to be the president anyway?
To me, that's wasting time. 47 cents to mail it in. I've already applied for that in-home vote.
Home vote?
But again,
I think the
center of his argument here, Sean's argument, is forget the gas money, forget money it costs. Let's say it's absolutely free. You know Johnson's not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So why do it?
Maybe something will stir the American people to get out of the silliness that we can only have two candidates for any office. It's so wrong.
Well,
Britain does pretty well. They're not totally dummies over there, and they have multiple, different parties.
Well, they certainly do, but I guess what I don't understand is that this is a very important... If this was just another election, I would say, okay, but this is an election where Supreme Court justices, there's one sitting there. It is going to change the policy forever of how this country's done, not to mention the fact you've got a totally unknown in Donald Trump, and you've got the first female that ever could be elected, who is, by all accounts, a policy wonk.
To me, that's the least the least reason anyone should ever vote for
her. No, you should never vote. You should not vote for her because she's a woman. I agree with that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that it is an historic election, and this time it is going to mean something, and it's not just the Congress and the Senate. The Supreme Court is in the balance, so that means gay marriage is in the balance, Obamacare is in the balance, Roe v. Wade is in the balance. People better pay attention to that. Go ahead, Sean.
So you're voting for Gary then, right? Probably Gary?
Yes, I am.
So what do you like about him then if you're voting for him over Hillary?
What I like about him is he's neither Hillary or Donald.
To me, that's this kind of vague answer. I just think that's like a get-out-of-the-way kind of deal. I think people need to vote.
He pretty much agrees with my principles, too.
Yeah.
He's basically on domestic and social issues.
Yeah.
He's very liberal, but on the money side of the house, he's very much he doesn't want to spend the bucks. He doesn't want us to waste our money.
Okay, but now that's I'm glad you said what you said, because now listen, the Supreme Court is in the balance, and as I said, that means you can guarantee that if a conservative person gets appointed to that Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade is in jeopardy for the first time since 1974.
You know my opinion on that. I'm in favor of that.
Okay, but also gay marriage is in the balance. Also,
no, gay marriage to me is an issue that I actually don't care about.
Well, they can over.
But I wouldn't. Well,
what are you liberally?
I don't care.
When you say liberally social, then what do you mean?
He basically would, taking care of people as far as making sure that the poor have something to eat.
And you think Donald Trump's the guy that's going to do that?
Oh, heck no.
But you think Hillary would not either?
I hope after Hillary's, if she does make it, that we can even afford to live in the States.
You know, people say that. I first of all, things do have to go through the Congress, and they said the same thing about Obamacare. I haven't seen the death panels yet. I haven't seen the unemployment rate skyrocketing yet. I haven't seen all the doctors heading to other countries yet. You know, it's a scare tactic. You know how they're going to pay for school for everybody is what they're going to do is just like they did with the insurance companies. All these doctors tried to scare everybody and say, we're just going to leave. There's going to be lines like in Canada. But you know, it didn't happen because America is the best country in the world. And these schools are not going to, what are they going to do, close their buildings down? Is Ohio State going to close their building down and just, oh, you made us be free tuition? We're just going to leave. What they're going to do is they're going to force these state schools to drop their tuition because it's going to be a competitive market, just like it is now with insurance, and that'll be the end of that. Over time,
who's going to pay for these guys, the instructors and such? Somebody has to pay for them. They're not going.
Urban Meyer.
They're not going to go free.
The football coaches at these schools make millions.
Yes.
The football coaches,
even the assistants.
You just cut the assistant coach, and you could pay every professor on the campus.
No, not all of them.
I guarantee you, and that's where they'll do it. That's what the colleges will do. The colleges will cut the sports salaries. And these coaches aren't going to leave because if you make $100,000 a year, that's still better than nothing. And that's what it's going to cause. Right now, colleges are a free market craziness. They're kind of like insurance. They can gouge you for whatever they want. How come nobody complains when the college slaps a Pell Grant in front of you or the college slaps a college loan in front of you? Where does the college loan money come from? College loan comes from the government. So why not just outright give it to somebody so they don't have to pay back those loans and they can go right out into the workforce? That's where you're going to save your money.
Yes, I do. A lot of people...
If they used as part of this, in other words, okay, you get free college, but you owe us, the government, you owe us 5 years of your life doing something to help everyone.
No, first,
that
here's
I,
what,
that I go with.
I'll tell you what's going to happen, because this is exactly what's going to happen. First of all, it's not free college for everybody. That's not what she's proposed. She's proposed people under, I think it's $50,000 a year, a household. So the people over $50,000 are still going to pay. So that being said, it's the people under that who have to go. You look at people under $50,000 right now, they are getting loans. And the loans are from the federal government. So what's going to happen now is the government's just going to give you the money. They're going to say, you don't have to pay this back. So then the kid will go to school, will become a doctor, and will be able to get into practice quicker because they don't have to spend the next 5 years paying back that loan.
They're not all going to be doctors.
They're
going to
be lawyers, they're going to be teachers, they're going to be...
some of them are going to be millenniums. who basically contribute nothing to our
right, but you know, it's going to be a very small percentage, because now you're going to have a reason to go. They're not just going to chuck the money out. It's not just going to be, here you go, have a fine day. Free college is not that complicated an issue. Right now, college is kind of a racket with the insurance.
Now, what I would hate to see is that they gave free college to a guy that's going there for French literature, majoring in some obscure thing that no one cares about, that's not going to help the general public.
But think of all the people who will get in, because it is free for anybody under that amount, who will get to get out there and help people quicker.
I agree with the guy you had on the other day that basically said, the guy from Marion, that basically said more people should concentrate on something that's going to be good for everyone, that's going to help. In other words, more of the things that will lead the people toward a working and making a good wage. Like I say, some of them in there, some of the majors that they do, and then complain about their $100,000 in debt. They never should have done that to start with.
They couldn't have gone. They could not have gone if they hadn't done it. Who's setting the price? The federal government's not setting the price at the college. The school is. You want cheaper loans. You want no $100,000 debts. Call your college and tell them to drop their tuition. Ohio State raises their tuition and still pays their football coach millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Because they can.
That's right, because they can.
And I know a lot of people that have student loans are still paying on them right now. Myself, I paid mine off for about 4 or 5 years ago.
But you didn't get your degree.
I didn't get my degree.
And what was one of the reasons?
It was expensive. I couldn't afford to go back to finish the credit hours. Because I'm still having my income. And it's expensive. And I did not qualify for the financial aid. But I think if the college was free, my opinion, I think we would have better doctors, more better. Because they don't have to worry about, not necessarily doctors, I'm saying, like people who are out in the workforce that, you know, say they go to Whirlpool and they're going to be a director of some sort. I think we would have better people like that, because they don't have to worry about paying back those big amount of money. They're, you know, what do you think? I don't know. Am I wrong on that? Because they don't have to worry about having that over their head, the burden.
We're going to go to break. We're going to talk to Bob Casey for 15 minutes about Pennsylvania. Then we'll come back and talk some more. So stay tuned.
Will do.
7.1 FM, the place to talk. Find us on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Look for us on Facebook by searching WWG Marion, Ohio 107.